Gracious Father, we ask your blessing on this service. Pray that you minister grace to each heart according to the need. Pray you would help all of us who are here this morning worship you in spirit and in truth. Ask in your Son's name. We turn to Daniel chapter 5. The first message we considered of the book of Daniel is what the name Daniel means. It is about God as my judge. In this chapter, we're going to focus on one particular account where that truth comes to light in a special way, and that's in Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. He drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. The setting here is that the king of Babylon is engaged in a wicked feast where he is defiling the vessels of God's house. Not only is he defiling the vessels of God's house, but he's also praising idols. And how God chooses to deal with this man is instructive for us in how we are to understand God as our judge. We read on in verse 5, "In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another." And what we see here teaches us about our troubled thoughts. God has an answer for my troubled thoughts, and God has an answer for your troubled thoughts. What this man, Belshazzar, needed to know was there was a reason that he was troubled, that his thoughts were troubled. And this man became troubled in his thoughts when he saw a supernatural indicator to him that there was something seriously wrong with what he was doing. So his countenance has changed, and his thoughts are troubling him. It's having a physical effect on him. Verse 6. So his response is verse 7. "The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing, show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. His trouble has heightened, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished." What we learn from God's dealings with this man is that this man needed to heed his troubled thoughts and respond properly. And if we are going to deal with our troubled thoughts, we must first understand the cause of our troubled thoughts. In this passage, this king willfully defiled the vessels of God's house. And when God supernaturally acted to confront his blasphemous actions, his countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. I'm reminded of the one time in my life when I can remember engaging in false worship. Before I became a Christian, I visited India in the late 80s and my mom was over there. And I remember distinctly my mom being in a temple, and I went there, and she guided me through false worship of an idol. And interestingly, and I don't think it was a coincidence, right after that, I became very ill. It was God's mercy to warn me of a course of action that was deadly. And this man was praising idols, and this man was defiling God's house. And he was very troubled. His conscience had told him that what he was doing was wrong and that he deserved God's judgment. He turned to his worthless counselors who had already failed previously to interpret God's dealings with his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. And they similarly failed here to interpret God's working. And so he became greatly troubled. You and I will not find the answer for our troubled thoughts through the counsel of the world. Your worldly friends will not have the right answers unless they happen to have heard God's answer for troubled thoughts, even though they may have rejected that answer. Our sin is the cause of our troubled thoughts. And we must acknowledge that it's our sin against God that is the cause of our troubled thoughts. But we must do more than just acknowledge that it's our sin that causes our troubled thoughts. We must understand God's answer for our troubled thoughts. And God in His mercy used queen to instruct this wicked king. Look at verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. This is the third time we're being told in this passage that his thoughts were troubled and that his countenance was changed. There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of thoughts, were found in the same Daniel, and the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. The king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before thee, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. This queen comes to the king and appeals to him concerning his troubled thoughts and changed countenance. Through the intervention of the queen, Daniel was summoned before the king. Now we see Daniel is going to act in a specific way towards this king. If you were here this morning, you should correlate what we studied in Ezekiel with what Daniel is about to do with this king. We read on what Daniel instructs this king. Verse 17. Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. For he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar knew, or this king knew, what God had done to his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel rehearsed to him God's dealings with the king's grandfather, and then confronted this king about his sinfulness. And doing so, Daniel provided this king with God's answer for his troubled thoughts. Did you see God's answer for your troubled thoughts? His answer is in verse 22. Look at verse 22. And thou, son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. What is God's answer for our troubled thoughts? Are your thoughts troubled right now? God has an answer for those troubled thoughts. And it's not alcohol. And it's not drugs. It's not another cigarette. And it's not immorality. And it's not winning the lottery. And it's not getting a promotion. It's not having your children get straight A's in school. It's not being elected to be a mayor of your town. There's one answer for your troubled thoughts. And that answer is humbling your heart before God. If your thoughts are troubled, you humble your thoughts before God. And here we see the exceeding importance and value of the faithful ministry of the Word of God by men of God in interpreting God's ways to sinners. Our consciences are not infallible. Only God's Word is infallible. We must heed God's Word to us concerning our troubled thoughts. Preachers must preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And when they do that, you should receive that as faithful ministry from God that's confronting you with your sinfulness. That is part of what God does to judge us, confronts us with our sinfulness, Because God wants to bless us. He wants us to have an answer for our troubled thoughts. And it's striking that Daniel challenges this king and says to him, he already knew all these things. And how many of us have already known this truth? How many times has God talked to us in services and spoken to our hearts? And we knew it was God's voice. But we didn't humble our heart and we left with troubled thoughts. God has an answer for your troubled thoughts. And if God has spoken to you today, if he's spoken to you right now, there's an answer for your troubled thoughts. And that answer is humble your heart for God and he will lift you up. Belshazzar was the grandson of the greatest king in the history of the world, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was blessed by God greater than any other kingdom in the history of the world. Belshazzar knew how God had abased his grandfather and then exalted him. And how many are here and all over this country and the world who are children of church leaders and great men of God, and you've seen what God has done in your life and in their lives. But you've seen what God has done in the life of your pastor or other great men of God in your day. You've seen what God has done with them. Even though you know what God has done, still have not brought your heart and your life into line with what God wants to do. God confronted Belshazzar about his pride, and God the judge is going to abase everyone who's proud in his heart. He will exalt him. God's answer for our troubled thoughts is that we humble ourselves before God. God judged Belshazzar and confronted him with his sinfulness through the ministry of Daniel. But God also provided him with the answer for his troubled thoughts, humbling his heart. But sadly, we do not read that he humbled himself. We read on. Daniel continues in his ministry to the king. Verse 23. Instead of humbling your heart, Belshazzar, this is what you've done, but have lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, listen to that, the God in whose hand thy breath is. If you just breathe, it's because there's a God who holds in his hand your breath. And this man, this king, was being warned sternly that the God in whose hand his breath was, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Belshazzar did not give God the glory that he was supposed to. The God who gave him his every breath, the God who ordained all of his ways, and yet this man did not glorify that God. And Daniel continues, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. So picture this wall, and there's this finger, and it's written, this writing on there, and it says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but good enough. And then here's the explanation. This is the interpretation of the thing. Note the interpretation. This is what really matters. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. What did he just say? God has scrutinized your kingdom and you're done. God has judged you. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Realize what Daniel just said there? God has balances and he weighed this king in those balances, and this king was found wanting. This isn't figurative language. God has balances in which he weighs you and in which he weighs me. And the Bible teaches this many places about how God weighs motives and the hearts of people. And this is a very important truth if you're going to understand God as your judge. God knows everything about you. He knows every thought that you've ever thought. He knows every word you've ever said. He knows everything you've ever done, whether anybody else alive knows it or not. He's seen it all. He's heard it all. He knows it all. And he has weighed you in his balances. And you, like Belshazzar, have been found wanting. Like, this is your righteousness, and there isn't any. And this is God's righteousness, and you are found wanting. So am I. And it's not just Belshazzar who's been found wanting. It's all of us. If you were to look at this verse in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, you would find a verb here, very important because it's found in a very well-known verse that maybe most of you can quote. Listen to this verse and see if you can find the verb in this verse. For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. Do you know that that verb come short is the same verb in Greek as the verb here for weighed on the scales and found wanting? Which means it isn't just Belshazzar that God examined on his scales. It's all of us. God weighs all of us on his scales. And we have all come short of his glory. We have been found wanting. God's righteousness is on one end of the balance, and ours is here, and we don't have any righteousness of ourselves. So if your thoughts are troubled, this is God's answer for you. You have no righteousness before God, and you need to humble yourself before God. It goes on, Peres. A kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. God confronted this man with the cause of his troubled thoughts. He hadn't humbled his heart before God. God provided him with the answer for his troubled thoughts. Humble his heart before God. Sadly, we don't see that this man humbled his heart and he was destroyed. A friend of mine witnessed to a man in the neighborhood who wasn't able to read. That man heard God's message to him and he responded and humbled himself and made a profession of faith. And that's God's answer for our troubled thoughts. When we are confronted about our sinfulness, we must humble ourselves before God and acknowledge our sinfulness and repent. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, that's a very interesting story, but that's not me. Oh, no. Thinking is not what it needs to be. Don't think that this is just an interesting story about an ancient king who had access to the vessels of God's temple. He was drinking wine in those vessels and praising idols, and I've never done that, so this doesn't apply to me. You shouldn't think like that, because we've all, the Bible says, come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Don't think that to do what Belshazzar did, I would have to take communion cups and take them to a bar and get drunk using those communion cups. Then I'm bad like Belshazzar. No, that's wrong thinking. Like Belshazzar, we've all sinned against God in our hearts with our proud thoughts. Have you ever had a proud thought in your life? Have you ever had a proud thought in your life? Well, so am I. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What about our bodies? Belshazzar didn't glorify the God in whose hand his breath was and whose were all his ways. God created our bodies. God sustains our bodies. And if we're believers, God owns our body through the shed blood of his Son. What have you done with your body? Have you ever done something unrighteous with your body? Something that you knew was not right to do? Have you ever put something in your body that you weren't supposed to? Have you ever taken your body someplace you weren't supposed to? Have you ever allowed your eyes to see something they weren't supposed to see? Have you ever listened to something that wasn't supposed to be heard? Have you ever said something with your mouth that you know God does not want you to say? If you're honest, that's all of us. We're all in horrible condition before the God who is our judge and his answer for your troubled thoughts to yourself before him. We haven't glorified the God in whose hand our breath is and whose are all our ways. And you say, well, I've never praised idols. Have you ever praised LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Dwayne Wade? Lots of idols in the world today. And it's not just images. Golden images. And we haven't given God the praise we should have. Listen to what God says in multiple places in the Bible. 1 Samuel 2:3. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Psalm 62:9. Surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. Be laid in the balance and they are altogether lighter than vanity. Like Belshazzar, God has weighed us in the balances and we've been found wanting. The question is, what are you going to do? The fact in God's balances, you have been found wanting. There are many of us who are very concerned about what certain scales say when we step on them. And we read a lot of books about how to make that indicator come down or the number to grow smaller. We're real concerned about those balances. But there are balances that are of infinitely greater importance. And those are God's balances. And in God's balances, you have been found wanting unless you have repented and believed in His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to be concerned about our having sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to resolve to let God truly be our judge and listen to His answer for our troubled thoughts. Many times has God confronted you with your sinfulness through the ministry of one of His servants? How have you responded to that ministry? If we've not humbled ourselves and repented, we're like Belshazzar. So knowing the cause of our troubled thoughts and God's answer for our troubled thoughts is not enough. We must also heed God's answer for our troubled thoughts or face the penalty for not dealing properly with them. You see that in Belshazzar's life? Daniel warned him. Daniel told him. We don't read that this man repented. Instead, he was destroyed that same night God's message came. And maybe God's speaking to some people here this morning, and they're not listening. The Bible warns you. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't think, well, I'll get right with God tomorrow. Oh, you need to get right with God now, because you're not guaranteed even another minute, let alone another day. And we must turn to God before it's too late. We must get right with God now. If God has convicted you of any sin through your conscience bothering you, or through the ministry of one of His servants, you need to repent before it's too late. You must heed God's answer for your troubled thoughts. Maybe your sin is something that no one else knows about. Be warned that God knows your sin, and the day is coming, the New Testament tells us in Romans 2:16, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. God is going to do that one day. And what will your condition be that day? The tale is told of a certain king who had a magic ring. The ring sat on his finger as any other ring, and it had mystic qualities. Whenever an evil thought came into the mind of the prince, or he was tempted to do an evil deed, or had done a wrong thing, the ring pressed painfully upon his finger. Such a belonging for painfully reminding us when we do think or say the wrong thing is the possession that we all have when we're born. Called conscience. Even though it's not a material thing, it too can become dulled, tarnished, lost, or cast away. Are you heeding your conscience before God? What would you think of a ship's captain who's sailing off a dangerous coast and saw suddenly through the clouds and the mist the flash of a lighthouse? Instead of changing his course right away, he says, we'll go a little further. I mean, we'll wait for a second, for a third flash. He would be guilty, you say, of criminal folly and carelessness. Yet as the captain and master of your own soul, do you not often act as foolishly as the captain of that ship? Do not tamper with your conscience. Do not lightly dismiss as only an inherited prejudice the distinction which it makes between good and evil. Muffle not that warning bell. If it kept you awake last night, thank God that even if you did sin, at least your conscience condemned you for your transgression, and the Spirit has not departed from you. Are your thoughts troubled? Has God spoken to you? He wants you to turn now to Him. A man murdered another on the shores of Lake Michigan. He threw the body into the water and ran away. 3 days later, the body was washed up in front of the murderer's cabin. The guilty man, troubled by conscience, confessed his crime and surrendered himself to the authorities, exclaiming, ah yes, I know the tides did it, the tides did it. When the tides of memory, conscience, and reason begin to roll in on the judgment day, every secret thing will be made manifest. The eyes of the Son of God will command or condemn according as you have acknowledged your sins here and trusted in Him as your personal Savior, or refuse to confess Him while you clung to your sins. Surely reason urges you to trust Christ as your Redeemer and not to wait to face Him as your judge. But Jesus is your judge, not just then. He's your judge right now. And Jesus wants you to confess your sin to God and repent. God will give you eternal life as a free gift. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, whom God the Father sent into the world as the Savior of the world. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. And God so loved the world, as you know, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God does not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, never did anything wrong. That Messiah, whom God the Father sent into the world, died for our sins on that cross, according to the Scripture. He was buried. That proves that he really was dead. He didn't just swoon. And then God the Father raised him on the third day, according to the Scripture. He was seen by Peter, and then of the 12, and of many other trustworthy witnesses. And the good news of God for you this morning is God is your judge. And he knows your sin. And he still wants to forgive you. And as the righteous judge of the universe, he has the authority to forgive all your sins if you will repent and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the best possible news that you can be given. If God is for you, no one else can condemn you, because God judged. So don't be like Belshazzar. Belshazzar was destroyed because he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he still did it anyway. Are you here and you know that you're not right with God? Don't be foolish. God wants you to repent. He wants you to repent. So if your thoughts are troubled, you need to know the cause of your troubled thoughts, your sin. You need to understand God's answer for your troubled thoughts. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And then you need to heed his answer to your troubled thoughts. Someone has written these words: I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. I don't want to keep on the closet shelf a lot of secrets about myself and fool myself as I come and go into thinking that nobody else will know the kind of a man I really am. I don't want to dress up myself in sham. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all men's respect. Here in the struggle for fame and pelf, I want to be able to like myself. I don't want to look at myself and know that I'm bluster and bluff and empty show. I can never hide myself from me. I see what others may never see. I know what others may never know. I never can fool myself, and so whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free. Is that you? Do you have a blameless conscience before God and man? The Bible teaches us in many places. I'm going to read some passages to you, and you need to heed what God may be saying to you. In Jeremiah 11 and verse 20, listen to what the Bible says. But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Jeremiah is praying to God as the judge, and he says, you try the feelings and the hearts. Jeremiah acknowledges that God knows what we have done. In Jeremiah 17:10, he says, for the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Did you hear what God just said? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. That's who our God is. Jeremiah 32 and verse 19, great in counsel and mighty work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. That's our God. In the Bible, in the last book, says this to us. Listen to these words and heed what God is maybe saying to you. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible goes on to say, in the last chapter, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life for you. Jesus Christ wants you to have life and have it more abundant. And as God appointed judge and Savior, he has the authority to bless you with the forgiveness of your sin. Life. Will you heed God's answer for your troubled life?
That's right.
Holy Father, we come to you this morning and we plead with you for all of our hearts. You know how deceitful our hearts are, how desperately wicked they are. We pray that your goodness would lead all to repentance. But if there's anyone here whose thoughts are troubled this morning, they would flee from the wrath to come and to believe in your Son and have eternal life. We ask for your mercy during the time remaining. We pray in your Son's name.
Amen.